And as you know, the theme of Ephesians is God's eternal plan and your place in it. God's eternal plan and your place in it. Margaret Thatcher wrote, "Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny." There's some debate on who said it first. I don't know if this Winston Churchill first said it and Margaret Thatcher is quoting. I don't know. But the point is true. I like this quote because it's pointing to the fact that your thoughts is where it all starts. It's how you think that actually controls how you live. It's how you think that actually determines how you live. It actually comes from within. And that's a good thing in the sense that if you change your thoughts, you can change your life. If you change the way you think, you will change your life. The problem is it's not so easy. And we can't do it alone just on willpower. The good news is that this is what God specializes in. He specializes in this. We can't do it alone because the Bible talks about the change that God wants us to make is so radical that it's actually described as a new birth. It's actually described as being a completely new person. That's the radical change that God wants us to experience, but you're not going to get there just on sheer willpower. There is a work that only God can do. And that's what Paul is talking about here in chapter 4. He's talking about putting off your old man, your old self, and actually putting on your new man or your new self. The King James and the New King James say the old man and the new man. The newer translations like NIV and ESV, I believe, say the new self, the old self and the new self. It's speaking of the same thing. Your old character and the new character. And the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you can see how powerful your thoughts are. Way more powerful than you realize. And so they have to be channeled in the right way in order to put off the old way of thinking and put on the new way of thinking. So, for example, Paul is talking about the old self, and the old self is conformed to a corrupt world system. So think of this. When Jesus called Satan the ruler of this world, what did he mean? Why would Satan be the ruler of this world? What he meant was that Satan is the ruler of this corrupt world system and everyone trapped in it. That is what Satan is the ruler of. When John says, do not love the world or the things in the world, that what did he mean? He meant, do not love the fallen world system organized in rebellion against God. That's what he was talking about. And he goes on to explain what that is. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all the things that are organized in rebellion against God. And when Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, what did he mean? He meant, don't let your mind be conformed to the lies of this corrupt world. Let your mind be transformed by the truth of God's word. And that's how we are set free, by knowing the truth and by living it. So, when we take a look at our text, Paul talks about the old man. He says in chapter 4, verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Think of that term Gentile as just kind of like an umbrella term for just pagan, godless people in rebellion against God. "So no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." What you're seeing here is a description of the dark psychology of people who reject God. And it's not pretty when you look at it. When you peek inside the mind of those who reject God, what do you see? You see futile in their thinking. That word, futility, comes from a Greek word that means empty or void. Empty or void of meaning or purpose. And so what they do is they try to fill the void with pleasure or power, with hedonism or materialism. It's an empty way of thinking. Darkened in their understanding, meaning they don't have any spiritual understanding. Because they rejected the truth. And when you reject the truth, what's left? What's left other than the truth except the lie? And so there's a darkening of spiritual understanding. Paul described it in Romans 1, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile, there's that word, became vain or empty in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. The reason they would profess to be wise is because they're not comparing themselves to God. They're comparing themselves to themselves. Therefore, they're wise in their own eyes. Once you compare yourself to God, you're not as smart as you think you are. But they're not doing that. They're just comparing themselves among themselves and think they're wise. And that brings about the ignorance that is within them. And this is more than just a lack of knowledge. This is a willful ignorance, the Bible calls it. An arrogant ignorance against God by those who suppress the truth. So, Romans 1 again, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. And you can read Romans 1 and see where that leads. It's dark. They professing to be wise, they became fools. They suppressed the truth in wickedness or unrighteousness. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie so that they could worship themselves rather than worship God. This is why faith is so important to God. Because faith is believing the truth and rejecting the lies of Satan. Faith is saying, I'm going to believe what God says, and I'm going to reject what Satan says. So you see this empty thinking, darkened understanding, ignorance, blindness of their heart. And Satan feeds this self-delusion, believe me. He feeds it. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glory of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So Satan is perpetuating this spiritual darkness, and people buy into it. It's like the guy who once said, the world jumped at Darwin. Jumped at him. Here's an alternative worldview that says God doesn't exist. Jump on it. Right? Just swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. Think about it. What is the best way to keep a prisoner from escaping? According to Dochesky, the best way to keep a prisoner from escaping is to make sure he never knows he's in prison. So this is how Satan perpetuates the darkness. And people think they're free when in fact they're enslaved to a corrupt world system of darkness. And so how does Satan keep perpetuating it? He just keeps you numb, keeps you dumb, keeps you happy, keeps you distracted, and just perpetuates this spiritual darkness. And people, of course, eat it up, you know, if it makes them feel important or if it makes them feel happy or whatever. So this corrupt way of thinking, this psychology, actually leads to a corrupt way of living. Because remember, what you think determines how you live. And so he says, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That Greek word for past feeling means hard of heart. The way people think directly leads to the way they live, but no matter how hard they try, the problem of moral guilt never goes away. This is where the denial of God fits into the equation. The denial of God is supposed to wipe away the moral guilt, but it doesn't, because the moral guilt stays. And so what happens? It continues to lacerate the conscience over and over and over until the conscience becomes calloused and numb, unable to feel, past feeling, unable to feel guilt or shame. The problem is it's also unable to feel love. Because once you numb the conscience to no longer feel guilt or shame, it no longer feels love either. So Paul talks about that. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, talking about false teachers, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So they preach false doctrine to sear their own conscience, because their own conscience is seared, and then allow it to sear others. In Titus, Paul writes to Titus, "To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and their conscience are defiled." So, this is what happens. Corrupt thinking corrupts the heart, corrupts the life, and leads to a hardness of heart, an unclean heart. The Greek word here is translated lewdness in the New King James, sensuality in the NIV. It's the strongest Greek word for depravity, indicating a total disregard for decency. So this is what happens. It starts small, starts in the mind, but then it grows as the mind entertains it and later enjoys it, and then later it becomes numb, and then later becomes hard and unclean and greedy. The Greek word here means an arrogant greediness, an insatiable lust to have things that are not lawful. Barclay says it's the spirit in which people are always ready to sacrifice others for their own desires. Nowadays they say it's, you know, throwing somebody under the bus. Basically, throwing other people under the bus, always sacrificing others for their own desires. And this is the trap. This is the world we live in. It's the trap of this corrupt world system. Chapter 2, verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This is the way we were. This was the old self. This is how we lived. We were a part of the corrupt world system of darkness ruled by the ruler of the darkness. The Bible talks about temptation with the word scandalon. It's translated stumbling block. It's also translated snare or bait or lure. So temptation is like the tripwire of a trap. The temptation is the tripwire. Taking hold of the temptation and then is the trap, committing the sin. King Saul fell into this trap. King David fell into this trap. King Solomon fell into this trap. Samson fell into it. Somebody said, you would have to have more wisdom than Solomon, more strength than Samson, more devotion than David to keep from falling into this trap, because they all fell in it. And this is the corrupt world system of darkness, ruled by the prince of darkness. This is where we were. when we lived in the world, we didn't even know it. We were a part of the corrupt world system that is controlled by Satan. Now, only one person in history did not fall for this trap. Jesus Christ. And listen, Satan tried. He tried to tempt Jesus over and over and over. We know about the temptations in the wilderness. If you're the Son of God, then serve yourself. Turn these rocks into bread. If you're the Son of God, you can do that. If you're the Son of God, exalt yourself. Just cast yourself off the top of that pinnacle of the temple and let your angels catch you. Just show everybody who you are. If you're the Son of God, just prove it. If you're the Son of God, save yourself. And I will give you all these kingdoms, and you can have a crown without the cross. You can save yourself from the cross, and I'll give you a crown. Those are only three temptations we know of, but we know there was more. And I feel like when Jesus was going to the cross, I feel like Satan thought that he had him. The night of the betrayal, we read that Satan entered Judas, and Judas went out into the night. Judas was going to set it up. So I feel like Satan thought that he had the trap, was ready to close. Not knowing that Jesus was going to die for the sins of the world. Jesus went to the cross to save us from the power of darkness. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. But unless you open your mind and see the spiritual warfare taking place, you're not going to get it. You're just going to play into Satan's game. You're going to play into his deception that this is all about you. Serve yourself. You need to save yourself. You need to exalt yourself. This is about you, 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 you. It's a trap. And Jesus is the only one who did not fall into it. He went to the cross to save us from the power of darkness, to replace this corrupt world system of darkness with a new creation. But it required him to die on a cross and be raised from the dead. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Listen to what he says. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, just as everybody else. All the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's saying, that was your old self. You were conformed to a corrupt world power, a corrupt world system of darkness. You were under the prince of the power of the air. But you're saved now. If you've been baptized, you've been born again. And now, you're to put off the old self. We're done with that. And it's time to put on the new self that has been renewed in Christ. A new creation is what it's called. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It would be an entire study just on that. A new life in Christ. A new hope of eternal life. A new nature. A spiritual nature led by the Spirit. A new family. Paul talked about the church family, the family of God. A new guide, the Word of God. And there's more. But the point is that we're no longer dominated by sin. It doesn't mean that Christians are perfect. But it does mean that we have access to grace. We're not perfect, but we're saved. when we continue to follow Christ. We're no longer dominated by sin. We're set free to be led by the Spirit. And it's a whole new way of thinking. And that's what Paul wants us to remember. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We're talking about a whole new way of thinking, which is going to lead to a whole new way of living. Put off your old self and your old way of thinking. So Paul explains that. Remember in Romans 6, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. He's talking about when we put to death the old man, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Your old man was put to death at baptism. And when you came up out of the water, you were raised to new life with a new nature, a new creation. Don't go back to the old. I remember an old preacher said, the old man wants to keep coming out of the grave, and you're just going to have to strangle it and put it back in the grave where he belongs. Because the old man wants to keep coming back like a zombie. Do you really want to do that? Do you really want to live like a zombie? There's a better way. Live like the new man, the new self. Put on the new self with a new way of thinking. Since you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's a whole new way of thinking, which leads to a whole new way of living. And here's where Paul's going to have to get personal. Because we'd rather stay theoretical, right? So we could just think of everyone else. But no, Paul's going to have to get personal now. And he's going to have to get specific. Case in point, lying. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Lying is a part of the corrupt world system of darkness. Lying is a part of Satan, the father of lies. And so we're not to go back to that. We're to put on the new creation. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the spirit of him who created him. Now this is where the scenario questions start coming up. What if my wife asks if she looks pretty in an outfit or whatever? Am I supposed to tell the truth? Or what if I ask her to tell me, how was my sermon today? Is she supposed to tell me the truth or just tell me, oh, honey, that was so great? We speak the truth in love, right? We speak the truth in love. I remember I started to say something to another preacher, Ed Sanderson Sr., and I caught myself. I said, well, maybe I... And he says, well, is it truth? And I say it. If it's truth, it's fine, you know. But we speak the truth in love. Case in point, lying. Case in point number two, anger. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. The old self, we lived there. We lived in anger. We let anger basically stay in our heart, rent free, and the new man might get angry, but when the sun goes down, time to give it to God. You see the difference? The old self allowed anger to corrupt our heart. The old self allowed anger to live like cancer in the heart. And we just let it live there rent-free. And what were we doing, giving place to the devil? We're just letting the devil in through that little door of anger. The new self, will we get angry at times? Yes. But it's not going to live in our heart and corrupt our heart like cancer. It's at the end of the day, we let it go. We give it to God. We apologize. You know, whatever it takes. Case in point, stealing. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Stealing is a part of the corrupt world system. It's not a part of the new creation. And so we have to put these off. This was a part of the old man, the old self. The old self was willing to steal, and then if we got caught, justify it. That's the game plan, right? That was the old man. I think of a shameful... I went to the Army-Navy surplus store years ago when I was in high school. No motive at all just to go check out this cool Army-Navy surplus store. Well, here's my friend, and he's stuffing stuff in his pockets. And he's like, I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, grab stuff. Just grab it. Nobody will know. So like a dummy, I just grab a can of that, what's that fuel that you use for camping? Like a can of Sterno. Why would I even steal that? But I just grab that, put it in my pocket. We go outside and start pulling it out of our pockets. And guess who happened to drive up? The owner of the Army-Navy surplus store. As we're pulling out stuff out of our pockets. I'm in high school. No, junior high, whatever. He's like, do you have a receipt for that? No. And this man did something I'll never forget. He called the police. And he had the police come down. And he put us in the back of the police car and drove us to the station. And I'm telling you, and they called my parents from the police station to come pick us up. What I found out later was he could have pressed charges, but he didn't. He wanted to scare us straight. And he did. Let me tell you, I've done some dumb things, but I didn't do anything that dumb, you know, after that. So that was the old man. I'm not happy about that, but I'm not going to go back to that. I'd rather live as the new man. The new self refuses to steal and even works to help others in need. So that's a complete change. And who was going to need that stupid can of Sterno anyway? So dumb. But like I said, Paul's getting personal, okay? And it's time to get personal again. Case in point, corrupt communication. Let no corrupt word, I'm going to say it again, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, the old self didn't worry what came out of their mouth, right? Because the old self is the most important person in the world. Who cares what anybody else thinks? Who cares if you discourage or you cause someone else to stumble? The old self thought that the universe was out of balance until they dropped some swear words and gave their opinion on everything. And then somehow the universe would fall back into alignment and everybody would be okay. That was the old self. And if you really think that, if you think that the universe is out of balance until you say something, then speak the truth. Because truth is the only thing in accordance with God's creation. But that was the old self. didn't worry what came out of their mouth. Barry Kirschenval used to say, it's like that trash can in the kitchen. You keep pushing trash down in it, but you don't want to take it out, so you keep pushing more trash down, and then pretty soon the trash just keeps coming out. And that's what happens when people, they just let words fly. Why? Because it's coming from the heart. And you can't keep it all in there. It's just going to keep coming out. Corrupt words come from a corrupt heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That was a part of the old man. Put off the old man and put on the new man. And he sums it up this way. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, we give one another grace. And I don't go around, you know, correcting everybody when they drop a word that shouldn't be spoken. I realize that people who were in the military, people who were on the construction site, and you pick it up. But notice where we pick it up nowadays. Movies. I mean, you watch a movie and it's like there's swear words just, and then speaking the Lord's name in vain. How numb are we going to get before we just start spitting it out of our mouths ourselves? So Paul is saying you have to change your thinking, and by changing your thinking you will change your living. And of course, this is why Jesus went to the cross. We couldn't do it ourselves. We are so imperfect. We're so flawed. We're so unworthy. And yet worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who died for our sins. We couldn't do it ourselves. We're totally imperfect. And yet we are called to be perfect as God is perfect. We're called to be like Christ. That's a huge task. And it's by God's grace that will change us. Change our thinking and change our living. You no longer belong to this corrupt world system of darkness. You are now children of light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is how we can be the new person that God wants us to be. We couldn't just do it on willpower. We had to be born again. We had to come up, we had to bury the old man, crucified with Christ, and then raised to new life, to raised as a new creation. It's the only way that could be done. The old self is crucified with Christ, the new self is raised to new life, and now, as Christians, we're not perfect, but we do have access to grace, and we can change. It's not by sheer willpower alone. But when we pray to God and we ask for that change, He will help us. I heard of a man who had a terrible temper. I mean, a temper that could fly off at the drop of a hat. A temper that would hurt people. But it was wrecking his family. It was wrecking his marriage. It was wrecking his relationships. And he prayed about it. and God took it away. This man changed. Normally we would think, you can't change like that, not when somebody's set in their ways. Well, with man this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. God can change us if we'll let Him, if we'll ask Him. He can make the change necessary for us to become the person that He always wanted us to be.
Amen.
The person that we always were supposed to be like Christ. And we can't do it on our own, but He can help us. He can help us. So let's encourage one another in these words as we stand and sing.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vales, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight,